we have the Pesach Hiatus, and then last week I had a wedding, so I want to thank Shlomi Shulman for giving this year last week. Parshas Achrimos Kedoshim, certainly it's a double parsha. It gives us many many different options for mitzvahs, especially in Parshas Kedoshim. The one that I thought of doing is really half of a very, very famous pasuk in Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud Zayin, which will be the Chamishi Aliyah in this week when we have the combined parshios. The Torah very famously says, "Losisnes achicha b'vavecha." Don't hate your fellow Jew, your brother in your heart. Hocheach tochiach hazam yisecha. You shall surely rebuke the members of your family, of your nation. V'lo sisa alofche. You should not bear sin because of him. Meaning, if you hated him, so then you would have sinned. Rather, hocheach tochiach es amisecha. The as Rashi points out, clearly the context here, at least in the Pasha part of the Pasuk, is rebuke. And Rashi gives a very narrow explanation. Listen, when you're giving the rebuke, don't do it out of hatred. That may sound obvious, but I can tell you it's not at all obvious, at least not in real life. We had an incident, I'll try to be as vague as possible. Once in the last 6 years, maybe it was last week, okay, once in the last 6 years, it wasn't last week, in which somebody in the shul, everyone's well-meaning, but somebody saw something being done by someone else in the shul, which they didn't just think was technically usher, but they were so upset by it, they were offended by it. How could somebody be doing something like that? And how could they be doing it in the shul? And therefore, they took it upon themselves to go over to that person and give shtark musr. The type of musr that they gave, and I then, of course, had to pick up the pieces, it was clear they were speaking out of anger. Maybe righteous anger, maybe well-intentioned anger. They weren't speaking, as the Rambam says, you're supposed to give tochacha, based on this pasuk, for their benefit, for the recipient's benefit. I love you, it's better for you if you hear my suggestion. That's the Rambam, that's how you give tochacha, because you're there not because of you, you're there for them. This, the example I'm referring to, is clearly not that. It was, this is not good for me, and that's why I'm yelling at you. And you can understand it sometimes, because sometimes people do all sorts of provocative things. But that's not what the Torah has in mind. So Rashi says, when you're giving tochecha, it shouldn't be with sinna. That's a very limited, notion of this. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos quotes this as well. As I mentioned, the Rambam says you should give tochecha out of love, not of hate. And the Sefer Yerayim discusses all sorts of variations of this. But really what I want to focus the shear on, however, is not any of that. What I want to focus the shear on is the fact that the Rishonim, and there'll be also the variations of the different understandings, but most, if not all, of the Rishonim understand that despite the conjunction of the two phrases, and clearly it teaches a certain halachos, but beyond that, l'sisna z'chicha b'vavecha is a halach in and of itself. It has nothing to do with tochacha. In general, there's a mitzvah, or a prohibition, of hating a fellow Jew. Now the question is, what does one have to do to violate that? Is it such a something in one's heart? Is it something that one does? Which one would be a worse manifestation of hatred? That's a very big question. Are there any nakaminas? And, an issue which for those of you who saw the email, teased a little bit in the title, are there any exceptions? Are there any times where one is allowed to, maybe even supposed to, hate another Jew? Nothing to do with tochacha per se, just a general question of our attitude towards our fellow Jews. So that's really what I want the focus of the shir to be. As I said, notwithstanding though that even in the Pasha Peshat and the Pasuk and Rashi and other Mefarshim do point out the connection to Hochev Tuchiyach, but that's not going to be what we are talking about.
Is there a shir for it? A lot or a little?
Well, there is an example of it. The Gemara famously says, what is it, 3 days? Right, if you go 3 days, Badafka not saying hello to someone. Not because you didn't see them, but because Peshitta, I'm not talking to him. So there are examples of that, but it's a good question. I'm also probably not going to focus on that, but that is certainly a good question. Speaking more fundamentally, there are, I would call it, broadly speaking, three approaches in the Rishonim, with, as is often the case, the Rambam Shita being the most talked about and provocative, but three Shitas in the Rishonim about how one violates this. And on some level, this sheet is parallel the discussion that we have also from this week's parsha on v'yahachlo recha kamocha, the idea of to love our fellow Jew. Well, both of these are seemingly emotions, and you have discussions that are shown in there also. How does one fulfill that? Is it just an emotion? Do we have to do an action? opposite or the inverse of that. How do you violate lo sisna zechicha belavecha? So let's start with the Rambam. I'll then go into the other shitas. But then we'll get back to midstream. We'll get back to a real discussion and questions and the like about the Rambam. But for now, we'll just mention. The Rambam has a shita where he says both in Hichos Deos and in the Sefer Mitzvahs, Lo Sase Shin Beis 302, that the violation of Lo Sisna Sachicha B'Vavecha is Dafka when it is B'Vavecha. You only violate the Isser if all you're doing is hating the person in your heart. However, if you...
Is that a minimum or is it...
No, that's the point. We're going to get there. Only. As opposed to if you do something to him out of hatred.
Right, right.
If you say something to him out of hatred, you are not in violation of Lo Sisna.
Uh-huh.
You may be in violation of other halachos. Lo Sikum, Lo Sitor. You hit the guy, Ben Yosef. There's other halachos about what you, how you treat people. But the specific halacha of Lo Sisna, says the Rambam, and obviously there's a reason that you fell into that trap because it's counterintuitive. It's only if you limit it to your heart. Now, in terms of a source, well, there are sources that are against this, and we're going to see one of them later in this year. But the Rambam does have a Taurus Kohanim, which is really also reproduced by the Gemara in Erech and Adat Tezayin, where the Gemara basically has a Havam Amina, maybe even verbal abuse and that and the like. Talmud Lomar, Bilvavecha, a sinna in your heart. And the Rambam understands that Gemara very straightforward. It means, okay, only if it's in your heart. That's when you're in violation of the prohibition. The Sefer Chinuch, as he often does, Reish Lam and Ches, the Sefer HaChinuch on our Parsha, agrees with the Rambam.
Do they say how you measure them?
Well, that was, in some sense, that's Mary's question. The answer is no.
Say, in your heart, what do you mean?
God knows. There's no malchus, it's not an issue of we're going to punish you for it.
No, I understand that.
Does it mean that it's hypocritical, like you might be friendly?
You're all getting ahead of yourself. So that we'll discuss that even from other Rishonim. But right now, you know, if I could paraphrase Justice Potter Stewart, you know what it means to hate somebody. You know, and when you experience, you know exactly what I'm referring to.
Right? Can you discuss if you have a good reason for it? Or,
No, there's no such thing. There is no such thing. I said at the end of the shiur, hopefully I'll discuss, are there any exceptions? But fundamentally, the halacha is you're not allowed to hate another Jew. And that is what the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch say. Now, because there are some questions on this, and it's so surprising, I don't think it's at all likely to be true. But just so you should know, Rav Ruchel Moshe Perlau, in his magnum opus, his commentary, Terpsagic on Sefer Mitzvos, he suggests that the Rambam backed out. In the end, the Rambam said, whether it's in your heart, whether it's in, you know, you beat a guy up, he doesn't think the Rambam really means this lamaisa. But as we'll see, almost everyone, including those who disagree with the Rambam, do assume that the Rambam meant what he said and said what he meant. It's also interesting, and I saw, for example, Rav Asher Weiss was very bothered by this and he didn't really have an answer, because as we'll see, there are questions on the Rambam, there's other shitas, but the Magen Avraham and the Mishneh Berurah, the Sefer Halacha, quote this idea. And I'm not saying in the name of the Rambam, but we know who it is. Mishneh Berurah says, you violate Lo Sisna when you hate the person in your heart, not when you do something to a person. Again, you might be over a different Isser. It's not with the puncher guy because you hate him. It just might not be Lo Sisna. It might be a different halacha. So therefore, it's certainly an important shita. The Mishneh Berurah is in Simen Kuf Nun Vav Sif Katan Zalad. I had it with me. I meant to bring it. Okay, I was going to read it to you. Just a one-liner. Anyway, so that's shita number one, and we are going to come back to that shita. Shita number two has a number of perhaps slight variations, but for the most part, shita number two is what you, I think, would consider, in a certain sense, maybe the most likely or commonsensical and intuitive shita. And that is hatred by any name is hatred. If I hate you in my heart, that's an avera. If I hate you because I scream at you, I hate you, that's an avera. If I hate you because I trip you when you walk down the hall, that's an avera. Any action, word, or deed that is emanating from hate is a violation. The Shiltos, on Parshas Vayeshev, Shiltos HaZayin, says this, and what you were anticipating, which is not the Rambam Shita, is the Shiltos Shita, is that when the Gemara, how do they understand the Gemara in Erechon? The Gemara in Erechon does say, Talmud Lomar B'Lavecha, even if it's just in your heart. The Chumrah. Namely, of course, if you do something or you say something, you're in violation. But you might have thought, listen, what did I do? I kept it in my heart. I didn't do anything. I never acted on my hatred. Talmud Lomar B'Lavecha, you're even in violation if you hate the person in your heart. That's how the Shiltos understands it. The Ramban and our Parsha, has two Perushim. And the first is that the Pasuk is speaking about what is most common. Meaning most people are non-confrontational. The Ramban puts on, his psychologist has, most people are non-confrontational. Most people aren't mean-spirited that they're looking to hurt people. Most times when you hate another guy, it's usually the kind of thing that you keep to yourself. You just hate him. So, but in Echonami, he says, it implies the Ramban. It doesn't mean that that's the only way to violate. It's just that's what's common. The second explanation that the Ramban gives, which is a famous one, which we'll even get back to because it'll have other ramifications, whereas the Ramban says, why does it say, Hochev tu chesam yisecha? Exactly, the Pasuk meant. Again, the Pasuk is a psychologist's hand. If you bear a grudge and you keep it inside, nothing good happens. Not only is it destructive in a certain sense for you, as we all often know from personal experience, but you end up resenting the person more. Get it out. Go over to the person and say, listen, you know, because of whatever you did, and you took my job away, you married the woman I was going to marry, whatever. The reason that people hate people. You make more money than me, whatever it is. Yeah, speak it out, get it off your chest, you'll feel better. And then the Ramban adds, very, very practical, now not so much wearing his psychologist hat, but almost his Aaron Cohen's hat, says the Ramban, plus you may find out that what you thought wasn't even true. You had built up this whole story in your head, you hate him because of X. But there's all sorts of misinformation going on. People have all sorts of speculations and rumors about all sorts of things. So if you just say, he'll explain to you why, no, that's not even true, therefore there's no reason to hate him. So that is an important Ramban in general. It's a very famous Ramban. The Rambam says something similar also, that psychologically it's healthy, get it out. Don't keep it in, it'll be worse. But the bottom line is, from this purpose, both Perushim of the Ramban assume that it's even if it's in your heart. But of course, if you do something, it's just as bad or worse. The Stipler has an essay. It's more or less reproduced. I didn't have a chance to take a look at one of the versions, but I think there are reproductions in the Birkas Peretz, that's a Sefer and Chumash on our Parsha, and also in the Kilas Yaakov, where he quotes, I didn't check to see how many years ago this was published, but probably a long time ago, he quotes his son, Reb Chaim, who many years ago was still already an old man. And he quotes his son, Reb Chaim, and I think it's known, this I think is like, that I think the Stipler understood that his son was a bigger bucky than him. The Stipler was known not so much as a bucky, as much as a genius. And he said that my son, Reb Chaim, told me that he looked at Toras Kohanim, the one I referred to, that there's a Ravid on the Toras Kohanim. That's that there's a famous parish Ravid on the Toras Kohanim. And apparently Reb Chaim pointed out that if you look at that Ravid, he says the following. He says, what's the case? Okay, not on this Pasuk, I'm sorry, not on our Pasuk. On the Pasuk of Lo Sikom Velo Sita, right? So I'm not going to take revenge. You didn't lend me your shovel, now I'm not going to lend you my shovel. So says the Ravid on that Pasuk, the first guy, why didn't he lend his shovel? Why didn't the first guy lend the shovel? So he says, it was out of stinginess. Not because I hate you, but because it's my new shovel. I would be better if I was a more magnanimous, generous person. But I'm not. I'll work on that next year. I'm stingy. So that's, I don't hate you, I love you. If I was going to lend it to anyone, I'd lend it to you. But I don't lend out my stuff, I'm stingy. So then the second guy, so then the Ravid says, but in theory, the Ravid says, had the first guy not lent out his shovel, because I hate you, that's why I'm not lending out my shovel, I'll lend it to Myron, I love him, I'm not lending it to you, I don't love you. So then the Ravid says, then it wouldn't just be a low sikum case, it would be a low sesma case. So that's, I've found the Ravid. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you see from this Ravid that he also disagrees with the Rambam. Because he says a perfect example of when you could be over low sisna is not just that you kept it in your heart, but you didn't lend somebody, you took an action, or in this case an inaction, you made a decision in a way that the person now knows he hates you. The whole purpose of the Rambam, again, which we see why Ramban and others disagree, the whole purpose of the Rambam is, I hate you and I didn't tell you about it. That's the Yisr. If I do anything by word or deed to let you know, that was the Chiddush of the Rambam on Latin violation. But you see from the Shiltos, the Ramban, the Ravid, each with their own variation, but they all disagree with that point, that you can even be in violation if you do something in a way that the person knows you hate him, and you can even be in violation if you keep it to yourself. The third shita, which is also a chiddush on the other extreme, is the Me'iri in Yuma. The Me'iri in Yuma says the only isser is if you take action. If it's just bilvavcha, it doesn't mean anything. But if you take action against the person, again, not out of stinginess or some other bad midah, but you take it out of hatred, that is a violation of lo sisna zachicha belavecha.
What's his rationale for that? I
In other words, why use the word levavet? I mean.
Okay, so that could be the one of the explanations of the Ramban. The Ramban says Dibra Loshen Behofa. The Pasuk is just saying that's what people usually do.
It's like
Losach
mode also.
Right, exactly. That's right, right? Losach mode, which certainly seems like a covetous thing in the heart. But we know that you're only in violation if you do something. Although, there might be a Lav Sheva Maisa. I don't know if the Miri said this would be a Lav Sheva Yeshva Maisa or not. But the Maisa, this is what he says. It's just a one-liner. It's in the Sechaz Yuma. He has this one-liner that if you take action, you know, if you withhold a favor from a person, basically he says, because you hate him, that is when you're in violation. But not if you doesn't bear anything on your behavior. Again, you have to have the lavecha, because you're not, you know, it's not an arbitrary thing that I didn't do something nice to him. What colors the action as being out of hatred? The heart, the lavecha. But it's the action that would make you, you make it violate. It's interesting. I saw that Rav Asher Weiss had a nice chiddush. She said, from New Iri, we can answer up a shiloh of the Maril Diskin. The Maril Diskin asked the following shiloh. In Masechah Sanhedrin, there's Machlokas Tanoim. If a sone is pasul eitzus, if I'm known to hate you, we're known to be Machlokas, and something has nothing to do with me, did you lend money to somebody else? And I say, I have testimony, am I a kosher witness or not? So one person says, yes, if you're otherwise a good guy, why can't you be a witness? You know, we'll give Drisha Chakira, we'll give you Eum, we'll make sure you're telling the truth. No reason you should think you're puzzled. Now, the Dayanim may look at you a little bit more carefully than they will get somebody else, but you're not puzzled. That's one opinion. The other opinion goes, a puzzle, because there's a cause of a Sone is puzzled.
Puzzle is for anybody, or for that particular?
No, for him. So you're a Sone. I can't have. Yeah. Again, let's just take the Hobby American law. You're allowed to testify. It's just that the cross examination, they'll point out, they'll try to question you, the strength of your testimony. But we don't say if you hate you, you can't testify at all. That's the Machlokas in the Mishnah.
The
exactly. In theory, the other Tana says, let the Dayanim, question him. That's part of the work of the Dayanim.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Not that he's puzzled. So the Shiloh of the Maril Diskin is, assuming that he's puzzled, why do we need some extra Gzer Sakosov? Say simply, he's a Rasha. Anyone who is a Mumer in an Avera D'Oraisa is Pasul Eidus. If he's a Sone, that means by definition he's in violation of Osisna Tachicha B'Vavecha. Why didn't the Gemara give that as the reason for the Shita who holds that he is disqualified to be with? That's the Ma'at. What's the difference?
It's the Oven. It's not a Mumer.
That doesn't matter. So the Maril Diskin has that Shaila. And there's answers from Maril Diskin and others to that Shaila. But Rav Asher Weiss, I thought, answered very beautifully. And he said, no, that's exactly what you need the Meiri for. According to the Meiri, it makes total sense. Because according to the Meiri, you're only in violation of Osisna if you do a Maisa. And then a Harami. In that case, you might be out of Osisna, puzzle from Eidos. What if I didn't do any Maisa? I didn't do any Maisa, but I am a Sone. I hate you, but I haven't done anything about it. So it comes along that time in Sanhedrin and says, even in such a case, you may not have violated the system according to the Beery, but you're still going to be Pasul Eidos, even if you didn't do anything. Okay. Anyway, Maisa, those are the three. In theory, if I told you there's an issue of deed and heart, what are the possibility of Shitas? You would have said there's three possibilities. One, both, or the other. And the answer is that's exactly what we have. The Rambam holds it's only in the heart, and we hold it's only in action, and most Rishonim hold it's either or. So let's focus on the Rambam for now, because there's a lot of discussion about that Rambam, and then when we have a chance at the end of this year, we'll get back to the issue of, are there cases where you're actually allowed to hate, and what form does that take? So first Shaila is, what's the Rambam Svara? It's so surprising, it's so counterintuitive. Why should you say that you only violate hatred if you keep it in your heart, but if you do something, you get off? So the Kesef Mishnah there in Hilchos Deos, he has a different understanding. He helps and says, no, you misunderstood the Rambam. You misunderstood the Rambam. He says he re-understands this case to refer to where you did something, you took an action, but not necessarily out of hatred. Most of the Achronim go say, listen, no. Again, it's a difficult Rambam, but you can't start going like this. The Rambam has to be taken. Again, just like a Perlow tries to say the Rambam took it back, and the Kesef Mishnah says you don't understand him. But yeah, those are still minority views. Most views take the Rambam at face value. So what is the rationale? So there's two basic svaras that are offered to understanding why it could be that sin in your lave is worse than if you actually do something about it, which in essence is what emerges from the Rambam. So one understanding is offered by the Chinuch. As you know, the Chinuch is a combination of halacha and philosophy. And in halacha, the Chinuch says that he possibly likes the Rambam. It has to do with an action. with your heart. But then the chinuch, unlike the Rambam, the chinuch offers a theory. What's the chinuch theory? It's the same thing that the Perish Yad Ketana on the Rambam says as well. And that is, as we saw alluded to before from the Ramban, although they were using it for different reasons. But says the Sefer Chinuch, venting. Once you do something, even if it's done out of hatred, it goes down a little bit. It's much riskier to have sin of belief, because that's going to be much more likely, even if the sin doesn't go down if you do something, then the sin stays. If you keep it bottled up, says the Sefer HaChinuch, then it's going to get worse. And that, putting yourself in that situation, who knows what, how explosive it's eventually going to be, but because keeping it bottled up, that is what makes it worse. And that's why, in their Shita, that's the violation. It's in the heart. The Chafetz Chaim, in his introduction, you know, the Chafetz Chaim is very famous for, you know, in his introduction and throughout the beginning of the book, he shows you that you think there's one thing called L'chach L'Lashon Hara. So he explains to you, though, if you say L'Lashon Hara, you're over in, like, you know, 38,000 Averos, and he goes through many of them, like, point by point. Right? There's nothing scarier than that introduction, or those basic points. So in Lo Saseh 7, that you violate when you speak Lashon Hara, in most cases, says the Chavetz Chaim, a different reason. If I remember correctly, I think he's basing it on a Balamore. But the bottom line is, the Chavetz Chaim says, a very interesting reason, very down to earth in a certain sense. He says, listen, people should know where they stand with each other. There's nothing worse than someone who's two-faced. I see you in Shul, hey, how are you? What's going on, buddy? That son of a gun, I eat him. That's a terrible thing. Because then that other person is totally vulnerable, who knows what you would do to him, and he's not at all going to have his defenses up. That vulnerability, for you, not for the Torah, that vulnerability that you could, who knows what could happen to him, and he didn't have any chance to even be prepared, so to speak, that's what makes this worse. If I, you know, if I take a key to the guy's car, you know, I'm showing my New York roots. You know, or if I want to use my Cincinnati roots, I go and take a baseball bat to his mailbox, you know, late at night, or whatever it is that you do, assuming that he knows it was you, and with a note, yours truly, you know what I mean? So then, he knows where we stand. Now he knows I hate him, he'll hate me, and that will, you know, it'll be Shalom Yisrael. You know, at least the Hatfields knew that we quite hated them. Yes, that says, this is Mamash for the sake with the Chavetz Chaim says. Says people have a right to know where they stand with you. And to be two-faced about it makes them more vulnerable. And listen, let's be honest. When the shoe's on the other foot, we all want to know. And even when we hear something painful, I think almost all of us, there's some people who prefer to live in denial. Most of us would be much preferred that someone was honest with us and that we knew where we stood, whether it's a coworker or the like, you know, your boss. You know, you want them, you know, they're honest. You know, you hear that often. People say, it was a good boss or something, you know. Even when they were upset, they always told me anywhere I stood with them or her. That's, you know, people want to, it's a certain security people have, at least from knowing where they stand. That's exactly what the Chafetz Chaim says. And if you keep it in your heart and you don't communicate it, that's what makes this worse. So, that's two possible theories. And I'll give you a nafkamina between those theories. And what is the Chafetz Chaim himself? The Chafetz Chaim asks the following shaila. Let's say I hate you, but, you know, like most of us, we're non-confrontational, and therefore I don't say it to you. But when I go to your house, Pliny's house for Kiddush on Shabbos, a little chonson, a little l'chaim, and I am rolling. Maybe yes, maybe no. But we're asking now about Lo Sisna. If I tell you, I tell a third party that I hate him. So he still thinks we're best friends, but I tell Reuven over there that I really hate Shimon. Am I over on Lo Sisna according to the Rambam or not? And the Rambam said if you do an action of hatred towards him, if you show him that you hate him, you're not over. Only keep it in your heart. So here's the Chavetz Chaim. I showed someone else that I hate him, but not him. Are you over or not?
You're getting it out of your heart.
So the Chavetz Chaim is not fluttering. It's not a long shit. He just says, in such a case, you are still over. Because, even according to the Rambam, because he's not forewarned. He doesn't know that you hate him just because you told some other guy. And therefore, you're still over.
But you got it off your heart.
Oh, but that's my point. That's not the Chavetz Chaim Shita. What I wanted to add, as Mickey was anticipating, but clearly this would be an Akimina, because if you held like the Chinuch and the Yad Ketana, then maybe you could make an argument that according to the Rambam, in such a case, you've gotten it off your chest, it'll diffuse things. You know, it's good to vent. And therefore, I got it off my chest to somebody else. Maybe that, you might even suggest that would be advisable. You know, if you say to the person, it'll radically ruin the relationship. If I just get it off my chest to him, we can go back to being, you know, some kind of...
Even further, because the person he's saved to doesn't have the same ideas that you have, and therefore he could...
Explain to you why you really shouldn't hate him, right? All exactly, that's right. But again, all of that is going to depend on what your perspective is on the Isser and the Shitas of the Rambam. Good.
Also who you tell.
Right, okay, fair enough. So there are a number of Gemaras or Mamar Chazal, three I think to be specific, which are discussed by Poskim as potentially being questions against the Rambam. Again, we just discussed why the Rambam, but let's remind ourselves, what Rambam? The Rambam holds that you're only a violation if you keep it to yourself, not if in any way you demonstrate it to the person that you hate. So one of the Shias, I'll just mention one of them with three or four possible answers, one of the Gemaras, one of the Mishnayis that's quoted against, potentially being against this Rambam, is the Mishnah in Maseches Nedarim. The concept is where you took a neder, and then you're going to the Chachamim to try to get out of the neder. So the Gemara, the Mishnah there, is telling what are the different things that the Chachamim will tell the person to look for a Pesach. You know, did you know that if you had when you took the neder, did you know that it would have led to a situation in which you're violating X? You know, sometimes, you know, we just say something more neutral, like, well, you're in a pickle, and if you would have known you'd get into a pickle, you would have made the neder. That's like standard. But the Mishnah there in Daf Samachay tells examples of, you know, by taking the neder you took, you ended up violating this or X, X or Y, X or Z. Maybe that's why you're even coming to that. You would have known you'd be over in such and such a surim, maybe you would have never taken the neder, and that's how you get out of it. One of the things that comes up in that Mishnah is, did you know that by taking such and such a neder, you violated L'sisna T'chicha B'Lavecha? No. How do my taking a neder violate L'sisna? So Mefarshim point out, it must be one of those Nadarim in which I either, this is the way the Rashi, which is really the Mefarish, it's not really Rashi there in Nadarim, the Rashi says, either I took a neder that said, I'm not going to let you have any benefit from me, I'm no dirhamnah from you, you can't have anything from me, and I did it out of hatred, I hate you so much, that's it, I always just to let you, you know, come and ride my bike, you're never going to ride my bike anymore, we're in a fight, I hate you. Or, you take a neder even, then I'm never going to say hello to you, that's it, we're not talking anymore. So, in such a case, you were over L'sisna, says the Mishnah, and that has to do with how we get you out of the neder. Take a step back for a second. A number of Achronim, most notably, and I think maybe even first, the Netziv and the Hamed Shela, says this L'chora is against the Rambam. Because here you see that the person, what did he say? What was the example in Rashi, in the most Rishonim? I was going to lend you a rake, but I'm taking a neder now because I hate you, I'm not going to lend you the rake. And you see that he did an action, the person knows it, and yet, the Mishnah says he's over L'sisna. According to the Rambam, he should be over L'sisna because now the guy knows that you hate him. That's the Shaila of the Netziv. So there's three or four answers that are given, and I'll mention them very briefly. Number one, the Netziv himself says maybe you have to answer based on the rush. The rush in Nedarim is actually on the page itself, and a little bit of a rush, the small rush. And the rush there says, what does the rush say? The Rush says, unlike this Rashi who says it's either or, the Rush says, no. The case of where you'd be violating L'sisna is specifically a case where you took a neder not to talk to the person. But there's a lot of reasons, so that's the Adkan the Rush. That's the Rush. Based on the Rush, says the Netziv, that works. The Rambam would have to learn this way as well. Because if I walk down the street and don't say hello to you, I could just be like a typically rude from guy. You know, you can live your whole life in certain communities, and I'm afraid we're maybe one of them, but we're still not the only one. I know other communities are much worse even. You walk down the street, no one says hello to anybody. I'm thinking of certain very from towns. No one says hello. It's like not part of the lifestyle. Why should you say hello to somebody? Right? So that doesn't mean I hate me. Hate you. It's just because I love me. I'm lost in my own world and my own thoughts. I don't hate you. Huh? So says the Netziv. Just because you take a neder and you don't say, and you can be creative. You could avoid the person. You could cross the other side of the street. You hear that he's at a kiddush. You don't go there. There are a lot of ways to not talk to a person, and he never has to know that you hate him and that you're badaska not talking to him. So says the Netziv. That'll work out beautifully for the Rambam. In such a case, you would have been over L'sisna, even though he doesn't know about it. But that's the point. That's an essence, like keeping it in your heart. That's one possible answer. Another answer is that Mefarish Rashi seems to raise the possibility that it's not shot to taking the neder itself, you can't borrow my rake, is the Isra of L'sisna. But then, this is a very interesting, again, psychological insight, a neder such as that will lead to L'sisna. As it creates, whatever the motivation for the neder, which could have been theoretically more innocuous, but it creates a level of hostility. I know you took a neder, but I can't borrow anything from you. You think I'm going to smile at you next time I see you? And then you're going to, oh, you didn't smile at me. It creates potential in both directions for hostility. So when the Chachamim are telling to the guy, did you know you violate Lo Sisna? If you made cut, when you took your netter, it wasn't mean that the netter itself was Lo Sisna. That you ended up tripping up on Lo Sisna, and therefore that's why you would never want to take netter. That's a second answer. A third answer is that maybe not that it didn't lead to, but maybe it reflects the Lo Sisna. It's not that the netter itself is Lo Sisna, but it shows that it must have been at some time in the past you had hatred. Why else would you take such a netter? So in economic, the moment you took the netter, you're no longer in violation. But in hindsight, you were in violation because obviously you hated the person. And finally,
what was the question that these are answering?
It's the simple understanding of the Mishnah was that I took a neder to prevent you from borrowing or benefiting from any of my stuff, and the assumption was that you know about that. That will affect you. You came to borrow my rake. I wouldn't let you. I took a neder. Ha ha. You can't borrow my stuff. So these are ways of showing that you could be over the Sisna before or after.
But
you know,
not that you hate him.
No, that's the maybe you did hate him. That's the Shaila. But according to the Rambam, but now he knows I hate him. That shouldn't have been Lo Sisna, yet the Mishnah says it's Lo Sisna. And then finally, the stipler says that even if the Neder had nothing to do with the Shalom Aleichem, which is, again, easily explainable, I'm just not a friendly guy. It's not that I hate you, I'm just not friendly, and you know, I'm self-absorbed. That's why I don't say I love you when I see you on the street. That was one answer we saw. Says the stipler, in that same piece I mentioned before, even if Takano, the Neder is, you can't borrow any of my stuff. But again, that doesn't have to be translated out of hatred. After all, it could just be that I'm a stingy jerk. You know, what people like that do around the world. I don't share. I was recently this week visiting my parents, and there's a certain person I know, very seems like a nice, friendly person. At one point, someone just made an observation. Like, it's a known thing to have like friends, this couple. They never invite anybody over. It's like a weird thing. Now, it doesn't mean they hate people. On the contrary, it's certainly eccentric. But there's a lot of explanation for that eccentricity. There's nothing to do with them not liking you. On the contrary, they may very much like you. But yes, I don't let my rake out. Okay, so I have, you know, people, as our shechter likes to say, people have all sorts of mishigas, and everyone has at least one. So this is going to be his mishigas. So that doesn't mean that he hates you. So that's the stipler, just because such a netter, that wouldn't necessarily, so the truth is that the real truth is that I'm not inviting you over, and I'm not letting you borrow my rake because I hate you. Again, that's still okay. When I say okay, I mean it still works for the Shitas HaRambam, because again, the Rambam's litmus test is, does he know about it or not? And it could be that he doesn't know about it because there's plausibly other explanations. Okay, anyway, so Adkan, the bottom line is we have these big three Shitas, and we just saw some of the discussion that surrounds Shitas HaRambam. Just for the last 5-6 minutes, let me just give you a very brief summary of the discussion, which is a huge discussion that could probably be multiple shurim in its own right. So we'll just give a brief summary of it, which is, are there exceptions to the rule, and would an exception relate to the religious observance of the other party? And the answer is, very well, maybe. Or to some extent. There's a well-known Gemara in Masechta Pesachim, on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and others that discuss the halacha of prika utina, right? If you see somebody, and you have to help them load their camel, or unload their animal, and based on the pasuk, the Gemara says you're supposed to dafka prefer the person that you hate. You can either see a friend or you can see a guy you hate. You're supposed to dafka prefer that. And why are you supposed to do that? So that you can somehow get rid of the hate. Right? So the Gemara asks, how could there be such a thing as a sonacha? A Jew's not allowed to hate. How could there be such a thing as sonacha? I'm not allowed to hate. So the Gemara answers, no, they're telling you there's an exception. This is a person who I saw do an aveira and didn't do tshuva. So he's a Russia. He's an Avarian, he didn't do tshuva. Therefore, apparently, you see from this Gemara, you are allowed to hate him. The Rambam in Hilchos Ratzeach, Perech, Yidgim, Haloch, Yidalid. The Rambam paskins this way, that you're allowed to hate a Jew, maybe even supposed to hate a Jew, who sins doesn't do tshuva. However, there's a lot of ways I could take this next kind of part of the discussion, but I'll put it this way. One of the ways we could take it is, the Rambam in his famous introduction to Perech Chelek in Sanhedrin, where he lists the Yud Gimli Karim, the Rambam there says explicitly, a guy who's basically a good guy, does mitzvahs, but doesn't accept any of the Yogim Lekarim, he's out. On the other hand, says the Rambam, someone who accepts the Yogim Lekarim, but does Averis, all mitzvos, meaning Benom HaVeru mitzvos, where we treat him, all mitzvos apply to him. If all mitzvos apply to him, then one of those mitzvos would be, Lo Sisna Sichu B'Varecha. So it comes out from this Rambam that even a guy who's a big sinner, but since he keeps Yogim Likarim, it's usher to hate him. I, the Rambam Hilchos Rosea, paskins like the Gemara Pesachim that you are allowed to hate him. These two seem to contradict each other. So one way to answer this, and again to get into this larger issue, comes from a Tosfos there in Pesachim. Tosfos there asks a question on the Gemara, which is the whole idea of picking the Sone, and now I know the reason I hate him is because he did an Avera, is because if I'll help him, you know, it happens again a lot in life. Hopefully I haven't hated anyone, I hope, in my whole life. But there are people who I haven't liked. And sometimes you don't like people from afar, especially if it's certain public figures. I don't like the way this guy Shitas are, or he's of this. And then sometimes you meet him, you know. I had at least two times like this. It was like, Mom, if you could tell Hashem was testing me. Because it wasn't just that they were okay people. They were the nicest people possible. That doesn't change all the things I didn't agree with them about. But like in my mind, I wanted them to have horns. To be dead, you know, with a pitchfork. And, you know, that would have made it easy to hate him. And then I meet him, and finally, and they're the sweetest people ever. Again, still don't agree with them necessarily, but it really seems more complex. So, says Tosfos, I don't understand. If that's the purpose, if you'll get together with the guy, help him with his animal, you'll realize, you know, we're all flesh and blood anyway, and the differences are not so great. That's basically, you know, psychology 101 on this halacha. Frank Tosfos, I don't understand. There's a mitzvah to hate Rishayim. Didn't the Gemara just say, why am I going out of my way to do prekor tina to lessen my hatred if I'm supposed to hate Rishayim? After all, the Gemara Pesachim quoted a pasuk from Mishle, Yiras Hashem Sonei Ra. That's part of being from, is to hate people who aren't from. So it would seem. Says Tosis, then why is the Gemara Davka telling me, based on the Pesachim, to go out of my way to do things to lessen hatred? So it's a catch 22. So says Tosis, a little bit vague, enigmatic, but clear. Very profound answer. It's a short Tosfos, like a real gem. It says Tosfos, there's hatred, and there's hatred. It says Tosfos, in a chanami, some hatred is appropriate. But the reason the Torah and the Gemara are telling you, help the guy get to know him, is because if you don't do something like that, it could evolve into something much worse and inappropriate, which he calls sinna gemura. Some sinna is allowed for a rasha, but even for a Russia, meaning another Jew, sinna gemura is not allowed. The question is, to what extent, what does he mean? Again, it's a little bit vague. He's clearly trying to say something very profound. There, I should say, polytosis. But what is that distinction? Some hatred, but not all. So there's a few different theories that I'll mention to you. And then I'll explain why I hope you'll agree with me that anyway it's all theoretical, at least in our generation, because you shouldn't hate anybody, certainly not nowadays. But before we get to that, even Ikra Din Mamish, what does Tosfos mean? So one possibility is something that's brought up most famously by the Bala Tanya, in the Tanya, but this is like the one Tanya that even non-Chabadniks tend to know. And it's also part of the Hagdama of the Shev Shmaitza, which if you haven't seen is a very important Hagdama. Not exactly identical, but very similar theme in the Shev Shmaitza's introduction and in the Bala Tanya, which is as follows. To put it in the Hasidic terminology, the Kabbalistic terminology, the Bala Tanya says, I meant to bring the quote, I'm sorry, I forgot. Everyone has, the essence of everyone is a certain nitzotz of Kedusha, a certain spark of Kedusha, you call it the Pintel Yid, Chel Gal Kamimal. Every Jew has not only a piece of that, that is who they really are. That's their essence. However, we also have the Yetzer Hara that makes us do things, sometimes even that might qualify us on some level as being a Rasha. But that's not just that it's a part of us, not all of us, that's true, but he says more than that. That's not the real me. It's an artificial part that's kind of clopped onto me. Says the Bala Tanya, and I remember I first heard this Bala Tanya, and I've heard it more than once subsequently from Rav Meir Torsky. He likes to quote this a lot. He always says the same way. With laser-like precision. You want to hate? There are a lot of people who like hating. You want to hate, says the Bala Tanya? With laser-like precision, you're only allowed to hate that part of him that's the sin, that's the ra. And that's not even the real him. That you should hate. But everything else about him, which anyway is the real him, that is usher to hate. And again, we're talking about even someone who would be categorized as a Russia. But that's only part of him, and it's not the real him. And that's only that part you're allowed to hate. The Shev Shmaitza also speaks about this idea that you hate the artificial part of the person that sinned, but not the essential part of the person who's really good. Now this is not just Drush, Chassidus, and Homiletics. This is quoted in a variety of different halachic contexts in various tshuvas. Halacha lamaisa, this idea, whether it's in the Baal Tanya's name, Sef Shmaita's name, nobody's name, this have a chiluk, is mentioned. That's one idea. A slightly different version of this, I saw in the Machzitz HaShekel, in the commentary of Shulchan Aruch, where he suggests that he understands Tosfos. And what does Tosfos mean? Tosfos means that even if you have a right to hate the person, forget any of this Hasidic stuff, I hate the person because he's a Rasha, but if I let it go too long, it'll get personal. The hatred's never supposed to be personal. Lamai Nafkemina and other posts can discuss this. What if the guy does tshuva? So Machzitz HaShekel says, of course, then you love him again. But the fear is that it's not so easy to turn on and off emotions. If you spent a lifetime, or even a year, or two, or ten, just hating this guy because he deserved it, and you never modified it or moderated it a bit, then it's going to transform from hating the rishus to something personal, and that's never allowed. Which is another way of saying, this is a halachic way of saying, what Rav Shimshon of Hirsch says in Chorev, which is a decidedly non-halachic work, and I'll use the quote which almost sounds decidedly non-Jewish, but Rav Hirsch says it, and I think the Machzitz HaShekel is really saying the same thing, which is that we hate the sin and not the sinner. That's exactly what Rav Hirsch says, even though such a thing called, it's not sinus rishoyim, it's really sinus rishos. And again, that's in a certain sense what the Machzitz HaShekel is saying. It can't become personal. The Gemara Pesachim was trying to say, Triketina, do these things to make sure you remind yourself it's not personal. It's not about him as a person. It's about the actions. So those are two major fundamental understandings of Tosfos. They complement each other, but they're not identical, which would severely limit, even theoretically, even Mikra Adin, the hatred. On a practical level, there are a number of other factors that should be kept in mind before anyone decides that they want to fulfill the mitzvah of hating Rishayim, which a lot of people, it's their favorite mitzvah. One of them is, for example, that there are a number of Rishonim, for example, the Smak, who says a person only has the status of a Rosha, no matter how bad of an Aveira they did, if they were given Hasra and rejected it. So first of all, most people were never given Hasra. And second of all, you said, no, but I did give him the guy Hasra. But there's the famous Gemara in Erechim that says nowadays, that the Gemara is already saying, nowadays, we don't know how to give Tochacha. It doesn't count. It's as if we didn't really give Tochacha or Hasra. Nothing, but and more than that, Erechim says it doesn't matter. We don't know how to do it. So if you put that two together, so there's no such thing. It's not even possible. Make right then, according to this month, to have a Russia now. Number two, of course, we have the famous idea which comes from numerous Achronim, most famously associated with the Chazon Ish, that nowadays, because people are already, you know, have family traditions not that way, and we don't have really, you know, Nevuah, and there's not a manifest presence of God thing, you can't, the standards that the Torah held people to and the punishment that we would lead out were when it was mamish clear what was right and what was wrong, and people were rejecting it. But now it's not clear. The world is a confusing place, their families are confusing them, and therefore we don't apply these halachas nowadays. It's most famous from the Chazon Ish. The truth is, it's in one of the svarim of the Chafetz Chaim, even before the Chazon Ish, and without the philosophical stuff, just the Psak Lamaisa, it predates both of them for sure, because already Rav Yaakov Ettlinger in the Binyan Zion has a famous tshuva about giving aliyahs to non-from people, where he says to the Zman Hazeh, even though it's against the Beferish Shulchan Aruch, it says that nowadays you can give to Mechal Shabbos, and the like. There are a number of poskim who make that point, that even if in theory, yes, sinus Rishayim, wonderful, but there are no Rishayim anymore. There's no such thing as Rishayim, Al Pi Din. Another point, Rav Moshe, Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, the Binyan Tzion, it's quoted in Mishnah Berurah. This Dibros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his Chiddushim on Bava Metzia, points out something which is also somewhat obvious, but again, in practice, it's impossible. Sinah has to be l'shem shamayim. How many people do you know who sinah has to be l'shem shamayim? Again, it's reminiscent a little bit of the
Ma'at. The biggest sinah is l'shem shamayim, otherwise you wouldn't hate that much.
No, it might be motivating. I'm not saying that it's a tarovis. To keep it, again, it's like the Ma'at L'Shekel. To keep it totally not personal. Yeah, but again, how many people, and it's not just that it's not personal. Let's be honest, a lot of the times that people hate, it's nothing personal, but it creates insecurities and resentments for me. I should have to live a life of frumkeit and this guy gets to do what he wants. Also, anyway, I want to finish this late. And the last point, just to show you how radical one can be, not the halacha, if you want, but just to show you this idea of maybe there's no Rishayim anymore, the Meshach Chochma in Devarim Perichav Beis Pasuk Dalid says the last time you could hate a Rasha was before Chen Ego. A little time ago. since the Chet Egel, he says, we don't have enough, there's nobody who's a big enough tzaddik who's not tainted in some way by the world, the new world order post Chet Egel, who has a right to be standing in judgment than anybody. In theory, God created a world where there could have been sinister shayim. But since the Chet Egel, we left that a long time ago. Now again, that's just a good footnote. That's something to have in the back pocket when the conversation is slow at the shmorik. You know, but I'm not saying we have to go like that in any meaningful way. But the other makaros I just gave you are very mainstream and very, to me, should be relevant. And the fact that, unfortunately, we do see so much righteous hatred in the world, and with all the modern economists that they quote, I'm not saying they don't exist, but none of that, they all assume nothing we just said the last 5 minutes. And I think it's, again, if so, there are lots of people who want to be mekayim in the midst of sinister shayim, who might tell them not to, but you have to be just wary of everything that we just said. I think it'd probably be a better bet to focus on the Avas Yisrael. Just self-preservation-wise, you wouldn't want to be in violation of our system. Good chance.